64% of customers are extremely or very concerned about privacy. So it's that's, you know, as much as the study then goes on to talk about the importance of personalization, like that's a stark number that's suggestive that empathetic brands need to be careful about that. Welcome to the State of CRM podcast. I'm Matt.
I'm Ben.
And welcome back to this week's episode. Today, we are going to talk about some research that actually recently came out in the last week or two. And kind of the premise is overall, customers are concerned about privacy and the usage of their data. So the study was actually conducted by CoreSight Research and sponsored by CM Group's brand or CM Brands Sail Through and Live Clicker. And basically what the study looks at is the relationship between personalization and also data privacy, looking at both responses from marketers as well as from customers to try to identify a couple things, how comfortable customers are sharing their data, and then from a personalization standpoint, how customers and marketers may be similar or different in terms of the way that they view the effectiveness of personalization.
Yeah, for sure. And in Matt, we can feel a little gap between the fact that everyone dream of having a great experience and personalized experience, but at the same time, the willingness of giving up their data or sharing the data is a challenge, or that's really something that people are not necessarily really happy to do or willing to do, and we'll get into the detail, but maybe not all of the data. That's two directions that are, I think, separated by some gap between what's expected and what they are accepting, what consumers are accepting to give to get that experience.
Yeah, 100%. There's actually an interesting part of the study that talks about specifically the motivations for customers to give up data, like what might actually influence someone to share an email or their birth date or their phone number, et cetera. And the study kind of suggests that personalized experiences, which customers want, are enough to sort of get them to be interested in sharing information. But I actually think that the data actually shows there's a gap in understanding there. Really what customers are willing to give up information for is value.
Yeah.
So either points from a loyalty program, which was the top response, or getting discounts, basically things where they get some sort of perceived value, not necessarily a personalized experience, which I don't even know if customers really necessarily have a clear understanding of what personalization means to them, especially when you sort of move to digital. So I think sort of the suggestion that customers want personalized experiences to the point where they're willing to share more data or they're more comfortable sharing data, to me that still remained somewhat absent within the data. And really what might be influential is actually just being able to get like discounts on a product or points in a loyalty program, not so much I want this personalized experience, yeah. So therefore I'll tell you everything you need to know about me.
Exactly. And maybe the personalized experience they see or they think that is provided is just not worth the rest of the data they would give up. So if we get into the actual numbers, I mean, results are figures of from the study. One of the things that's, interesting is that 71% of the brands and retailers think that excel in marketing personalization. But at the same time, only 34% of customers thinks the same. So this is the gap we were talking in the introduction, that 71% of the brands and marketers think that they are doing a good job, and only 34% of the customer think that it's really a good experience. So that's they can get. So let's try to maybe list and get into the detail of during the episode of what are the reason of this gap trying to find some option or not necessarily solution, but possible axes of development to bridge the gap and get a better feeling for the consumer and being more realistic on the brand side.
Yeah, 100%. I think like the study does a really good job of illustrating that there is that gap. Like that's massive, you know, nearly 3 in 4 marketers feeling that personalization is working. Almost 2/3 of consumers feel like personalization is not working. So it's really interesting that there is that significant gap. And I think what that highlights, especially because I think marketers perceive themselves as obviously doing personalization well, there's potentially a big gap or delta in terms of what marketers view effective personalization being and consumers viewing what effective personalization means. And I can't help but wonder too, another statistic is about 94% of customers have at least some data concerns in terms of giving up their data for privacy. And so I'm just curious about the relationship between, okay, the majority of customers feel like they're worried about how their data is used. They're also more likely to be reluctant to give up personal information like phone numbers and birth dates and things like that, which are, especially like birth date, are things that marketers are using to create personalized experiences, which they're doing well, or they view themselves as doing that well. So I wonder if, one, in summary, there's not a disconnect between what marketers view as effective personalization and customers, and two, if maybe customers are actually put off by that sort of thing, because if they're reluctant to share things like birth date and then they're getting emails saying, oh, happy birthday, Jim, like here's some discounts on products that you might like, maybe Jim doesn't want that. And maybe Jim feels uncomfortable about a brand knowing when his birthday is. If he's uncomfortable giving up that information, he's probably going to be uncomfortable getting marketing that's using the information that he's uncomfortable giving up.
Yeah. And I mean, that's a remind me, personal experience, like that was maybe 1 week ago on a website, e-commerce websites. I won't name the brand that just order a product in the information they ask me to fill in. There is the birth date. This is a mandatory field. And they did a better job than other websites. That's okay, why do you want my birth date? And as you said, that maybe that's for to send me an email for my birthday or offers or whatever. They actually explained that, oh, the birth date, so give us your birth date so we can send you a message, a nice message, when it's actually your birthday.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that on this website, the marketer who added this information, I mean, the intention is good, saying that, okay, we are collecting the data, we are asking for data points, and we are explaining why we are asking it. So this part is good. But the real question is that, is there any value of sending me an email to say happy birthday? I mean, I don't care about this brand sending me happy birthday,
yeah,
honestly. So that's just that the experience, I mean, explaining why you are collecting the data is a good point. Because that's something I think is missing for lots of data collection points. So I think that can be in store, or I mean, how many times you end up at a cashier and they're asking, "Oh, can I have your phone number?" No, for what? I mean, why would I give you my phone number? I'm just paying at the article in the store. I don't want to be notified,
yeah,
necessarily for toothpaste, you know,
yeah.
So the exercise of explaining why you are collecting the data, because you will use it for X, Y, Z message improvement in the experience, that's great. But that doesn't solve the issue of providing the good experience.
Yeah.
So back to the example of the email birthday. I mean, even if that's saying, oh, we'll send you a coupon or discount 2 weeks before your birthday. I mean, just maybe survey your consumer. I mean, when you are doing this kind of thing, that's not necessarily what is expected from your brand.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, one area I think that the customers do feel like I think kind of to that point, like those are all digitally communicated channels that we've been talking about. And I know that there's sort of this push to create immersive digital experiences that can give the same sort of emotional response from customers that they get in store. Like you go to a store and there is we are seeing a return to in-store shopping because there's a whole experience to that. Like you walk in, you have somebody, you know, ask you, ideally, if it's a store that's doing its job correctly, ask you if you need help, help you like explore products that you're interested in, giving you that personalized experience. And also in those situations, things like using your name and all of that, like obviously are just natural because that's a person-to-person interaction. And I think we're seeing a return to the store because people want that type of thing. And I don't have any data to support this. This is just my own assumption, but I think you can't sort of translate that level of personalization in the same way to digital because it starts to get a little big brother-like, where it's one thing to get an email that says your name and has your birth date and knows all the stuff about you versus actually talking to a person in a store and having that human connection with them. So I think like there's also two. What is an immersive digital or a relevant personalized digital experience look like that customers actually want and are comfortable with versus in-store? And maybe it's not necessarily trying to achieve the same thing. I mean, maybe it is. I don't know. But I think it's an important question to ask because as things become or are omni-channel now, as we learned in Shop Talk, their brands are trying to figure out digital, they're trying to figure out in-store, and they're trying to figure out that space in between. Like, maybe there's something to be said where you can be overly personalized in digital. And I think that, again, ties back to that issue with consumers. It's not just that consumers are consumed about their data. They're consumed about what's going to happen with that data. So, again, full circle.
That's the perception of the value perceived or received for the data they give up. Or they share, and this is where, in your explanation, Mats, there is an issue or a gap that, I mean, you are giving a lot of data to these brands, and the actual experience is still super low.
Yeah,
and you walk in a store. I'm not giving my first name. I'm not sharing my first name. I'm not sharing my birthday. The question that I ask are totally different.
Yeah.
To provide me a good experience in the store. So maybe that's not what is expected from consumer, but that's what they experience when they go in the store. So when you are trying to build a brand that has an overall experience across channel from the store to the digital and all of that, and the training of your reps is to do some action and some ask some question to ask for what the consumer is looking for, what style, what is it for a gift, is it for you, for someone else. I mean, where are all these questions on the digital side? And I mean, that's just the example I took for the purchase and forcing me to put my birthday to send me an email for my birthday. That was for a gift for someone else. I mean, that's just. Why sending me an email on my birthday from this? I mean, I will receive an email for my birthday from this website that I order a gift 1 year prior or 9 months prior. I mean,
yeah,
that makes no sense. While just asking me, hey, is it for a gift or not? Is it for, I mean, a product for you, not for you? That, there are a lot of things that's okay. By the way, if that's a product that I bought to make a gift for someone else. The journey and the trigger could be in 1 year from now saying that, hey, last year you purchased something and we have other gifts that you can do to the same person, even if you don't know who is this person. There are other things that you can ask that a real person in the store would ask to better engage the conversation and the relationship with the walking customer.
And I think there's a level of obviously, like you can be more personal in those interactions. Like there's a higher level of somebody be willing to talk to you and give more information in those situations because you're just talking to a person. It's not being recorded, or I mean, sometimes maybe it is, but it's just sort of like the ideal objective in that situation is for the sales rep to get the customer interested in something to buy and the customer to do product exploration. And I think it's actually interesting they broke out, like, you know, how well personalization was perceived across different channels. And marketers on all of the channels, I believe, over, like were much more positive on personalization than customers. But customers ranked customer service as the number one area. So I think, like, again, there's that expectation of personalization in that sphere, but less as you start to get to digital channels. And I mean, the study ultimately was talking about how important it is to personalize and all of these things. But it's interesting because I think, like, the data actually is almost a cautionary tale for marketers around some of this stuff. And obviously, you know, LiveClicker and SailThru are looking to sell their product, but ultimately, I'm not sure that I found when I was looking at the data that it was necessarily super favorable for what they were trying to say. Yeah, I thought it was interesting that, you know, marketers and customers actually viewed personalization the highest in terms of satisfaction on customer service. And I think that just kind of aligns with what we've been saying.
Yeah. I think an important point or data points to throw in this discussion is that we also recently read another survey, I mean report from Nielsen, and Nielsen on another topic, other question, we're asking a marketer to rank what are the different actions that have an impact on their business, and personalization is in the ranking in the top. But at the end, from all the strategy and all the marketers that were surveyed, in the survey, the personalization finished at the fifth rank of the most important tactic or action they can run to impact their business, which is, I think, interesting to bring in because to me, that how can we think as marketer that we are pretty good at doing personalization, spending all this time to maximize that across channel, which I personally think that it's important to work on, missing the point with the consumer. That's all the discussion we have so far in this episode. And looks like there is a gap and spending all this energy to miss the point to provide the real good experience with the consumer. And at the same time, ranking in the middle of the action they can have in their strategy, the personalization as impactful. I mean, not as so much impactful on the performance of the business. So it's really interesting that we see them focusing on a topic, not very successfully doing it, and also knowing that it's maybe not the best thing to do to impact their business. So yeah. My conclusion on that is just maybe it's true and maybe you just need to shift to another part of your strategy that has a better impact, which, by the way, is the top three are audience targeting, the quality of the ad creative, and the audience reach. So size of the audience are really the things that are really impactful on their marketing strategy. So you can either put more effort and more energy in this action, but you can also think that personalization is a big topic. Yes, we under-deliver as marketer on this topic. How do we improve, and how do we better ask the consumer what they are expecting? How do we provide that and really level up the experience and not delivering personalized experience by just sending an happy birthday message?
Yeah. And I think, you know, within those top three, targeting, creative, and reach, like, I mean, not to be old school, but those are just fundamental marketing principles. Like, outside of, you know, we're going to create these complicated journeys and personalize every single element of an email based on all of these specific data points that we've creepily collected from our customers. It's just basic finding the right people, having a great message, and reaching enough of them to generate sales. And marketers are still, as much as, you know, like we're sold on some of these other things. And I'm not saying they're not important in certain contexts, but ultimately it's just back to basics when it comes to this stuff. So
I think that, Matt, I think the back to basic is really important to highlight in a way that was also not turned this way in the CM group survey, but a report. But that was mentioned, I think, somewhere. A lot of customer mention email as a big channel for them that influence the sales and their behavior. And
yeah,
I mean, the email is for a long time said as no longer. I mean, it's been a long time that we hear that email is dead and all this new channel. I mean,
yeah.
And to your point of back to basics and really mastering the basics and being good at delivering a good experience through the basic channels.
Yeah,
is kind of the same of the other example you were mentioning.
Yeah, I think the stat was 32% of consumers have email as a preferred channel, which for them was actually tied to websites.
Yeah.
Which marketers' top one was also websites, just to note. But like for marketers, email was only 8%. So it's really interesting to your point to see sort of that disconnect there. And so like again, like, you know, I think and when thinking about email, like it's sort of like a traditional channel, but it's also probably an area where it's about product discovery. You know, like we want to receive information from brands about things we would be interested in shopping for or buying or things that are relevant in that way. And I think like that's why email is so important, because it helps customers find the things that they want. And ultimately, when you go to a website, like you have to do a little bit more searching to get to. I mean, there's product recommendations and things like that, but it's more of like a browsing experience, where an email is informational. And so it's an opportunity for brands to. This goes back to audience targeting. If you understand what your customers are actually interested in buying, then you can deliver those things to them. And it on a hugely important channel to people. So I think, like, you know, your website is hugely important, both from like operationally getting your customers to buy from you. Like you can do that, I guess, by clicking an email and whatnot, but ultimately the purchase is happening on the website. So like, it's important, but from a product discovery perspective, customers are really still leaning into their inboxes.
Yeah, 100%. The next section, if I'm correct, maybe it's going back to something you mentioned in the introduction, Matt. And I mean, are the customer willing to give as data? And what are the reward? I mean, the transaction, we'd say, for this data. So what are they expecting to get in return for sharing data? And the three main figures are in the report are 51% of the loyalty program. I mean, for our loyalty program endpoints. So that's a big driver of sharing their data, 20% to save money, so getting advantage or benefits on the amount they spend, and 15% for discount, really for getting extra discounts. So all of that to again mention that there is no mention of personalized experience, that they are more likely to share data for this and to get that in exchange for now. And maybe, again, that's a big question mark. That's maybe because they did not experience or did not feel that they have a really good experience from what is done with their data for the overall experience with the brand. And some efforts needs to be made to win the trust of being able to provide a good experience. Because right now, the only thing they are expecting are loyalty points or discounts.
Yeah, I mean, and trust came into the report in a way where it was saying that, like, and it wasn't, there was a lift, but it wasn't, like, extremely drastic. But if there's a trusted brand versus a newer brand, brands that customers have existing relationships with and trust more, they're more likely to be willing to turn over their data, or not turn it over, but give data and information to the brand. So also, like, brands have to think about earning it as well. You know, if this is the first time somebody's visited your website, they're not familiar with your company, they're going to be even less likely to want to share it with you. And that makes sense as well. And yeah, I think, like, you know, in my mind, kind of like as we start to wrap up the episode, like the big gap to me is still, and the study doesn't really explore what person, I mean, maybe it's afraid to ask customers, but what is personalization to customers versus marketers? Because I think there is a big gap there. And I think that's kind of what we were talking about at the beginning, is again, sort of like this idea that what does it mean to a customer? And I think, like, what a personalized email might mean for a customer might be different than what a marketer thinks that it means. And I think there needs to be a lot more work in the industry on figuring out really what that is. Just because you get more clicks or a higher open rate or something like that doesn't mean that's the personalized journey that's really affecting customers in a significant way. So I think something you need to think about. But in conclusion, we do know that 64% of customers are extremely or very concerned about privacy. So that's, you know, as much as the study then goes on to talk about the importance of personalization, like, that's a stark number that's suggestive that empathetic brands need to be careful about that. So in conclusion, I mean, what with these things considered, and I think there's probably more questions today than answers, but what can marketers do, like, considering these findings that there's this lack of perception of good personalization on the customer side, marketers think they're doing it really well. What should we do?
And I mean, I don't have an answer to what should we do, Matt, but the thing is that the way things need to be seen, and as marketers, what needs to be done is really to be sure that we implement or work toward strategies, experience that are future-proof, in a way that we know that the concern about sharing data and the privacy of the consumer won't disappear, and that won't fade out. That just will be amplified. Especially with, I mean, we are talking about that often for the last maybe 6-8 months now. Apple, the privacy, the mail privacy option in the latest iOS 15 is a big thing. But in general, we are talking about the impact on the email from this Apple move, but Apple actually added a lot of additional feature to protect the privacy. They are providing shadow email to be sure that if you don't want to share your email, they do a buffer with a fake email, I mean an Apple email, that will then transfer the information to your real inbox. And so in front of that, the marketer or the brand don't get your real email. So we really need to, that won't disappear, and brands are adding layer and layer of protection for the consumer. So what can be made today that can be improved over the time, but that won't just hit the wall in the next months or year, because the future won't be less privacy focused.
Yep. Another thing, and I think it's just important to reiterate, I know we've talked quite a bit about it, but just to concisely say, better define what personalization means for your customers. Figure that out, especially within the digital realm. We've been doing customer service since, you know, retail was born. You know, anybody that wanted to sell anything to anybody, you know, at any point in time had to do some level of customer service so that person would buy from them in person. I think in digital, we still surprisingly don't really understand what customers actually want. And probably more importantly want are comfortable with from a personalization perspective. So I think let's figure that out and not make any assumptions about that.
Yeah, maybe just ask.
Yeah, fair.
For sure. And the last point is just work around the data that the clients are or the customer are willing to share. And optimize that, they optimize the experience around that type of data, and maybe some of the data that you are collecting right now and that's in the center of the whole strategy are personal data, and just ask yourself if that's really worth spending time on it, and is it really bringing incremental value to collect it, ask for it, and do something with it.
Yeah, 100%. There's definitely a lot you can do with information that your customers are willing to give you without having to badger them for information that they're less likely to turn over. And the study kind of details whether it's, you know, email or date of birth or phone number or home address. Things like home address ranked very low, but like, yeah. what is the data that's more likely to be comfortable on the customer side to be used? So.
For sure.
Yep.
100%, Matt. Interesting topic. We are not finished with this topic as a marketer, but we hope that you like the discussion or take on this survey. We'll meet for another episode next week. And meanwhile, we hope you enjoy the end of the week.
Yep. Have a good rest of your week and see you soon.
Bye.